الله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمنين ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. قل أطيعوا الله والرسول فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين. Refresh and energize your heart and soul with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Love and affection are the cardinal landmarks of a human life and a human behavior. Every human being at some point in his or her life are going to experience love. What is the meaning of love? What is the simple definition of love? What happens when we love someone? Psychologists and sociologists and some philosophers believe that love is to go beyond yourself and to fasten the seat of your affection, your compassion, upon an object of love. This object could be a piece of land, could be a fancy car, could be a human being, could be an animal. But when we look at the history of religions, all religions, man-made religions and divine religions, we find that all religions share in this. They share this idea. They carry their message on board a vehicle of love. This is why when they knock at your door, Christian preachers, they tell you the first thing and the last thing they tell you that Jesus loves you. This is how they propagate and market for their message. Not only in Christianity, even in Islam. In Islam we believe that faith is founded on love. وَهَلِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْحُبُّ. When a man comes to Al-Imam al-Sadiq and asks him, Ya Rasulullah, does love exist in religion? He tells him, religion is nothing but love. Nothing but absolute love and affection. And the journey of love and religion begins and continues with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begins with Allah. If you search the Holy Quran is deep rooted with a plethora of verses that speaks about love and religion and the necessity of love, and you have to express your love, and you have to love in order for you to believe. You have to love. When the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم when the Prophet was asked about the meaning of Iman, سئل رسول الله ما الإيمان قال الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليك من سواهما. The true faith is to have God and His Apostle, His Messenger, more beloved and more attached to your heart and to your feelings than anything else in this universe. This is faith. If you don't love God, you would never be ready to listen to God. And if you don't love the Prophet, you would never believe that he is the messenger of God. So you have to settle this issue first. One day, Umar ibn al-Khattab came to the Prophet, and this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim both. He said to him, "Oh, the messenger of God, I love you so much. I love you more than my family, more than my business, more than my wealth, more than my house, except one thing. I love myself more than you." The Prophet turned to him and he said to him, لا يؤمن أحدكم, listen, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من نفسه وأهله وماله والناس أجمعين. You would never attain the true taste of faith unless I, Muhammad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in my capacity as the messenger of God, I become more important to his own self than his self, than his family, than his wealth, and everybody else. I should be number one in your heart. Don't tell me that you love yourself more than I, more than you love me. This is the true message of Islam. And if you look at the Quran, the word, the term love has been repeated. Quran is replete with this term love. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْتَوَّابِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ and so on and so forth. It's based on love. It's based on an intimate, personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, we have love and we have obedience, and they are different. Obedience is the ultimate outcome of love. True love cannot give a fruit without absolute obedience. Thus, when Allah speaks about love in the Quran, He followed that immediately by another verse. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ, O Prophet, when you go to the masses and they claim that they love God and they love you, say to them, قُلْ, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِثْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If you claim that you are truly in love with the Lord, then you have to exhibit that. You have to demonstrate that for me. You have to show me your love. Some signs of love has to exist here. You can't just claim that you love God and you love the messenger. Today, we have something in you, in America, among certain communities. A person does not go to the mosque, he never knows the direction to the Qibla, he never puts his forehead on the dust as a sign of submission to God, he never knows when the month of Ramadan comes or goes, he never hears about Mecca or Medina, but he tells you, "I am a Muslim." How come you are a Muslim? He says, "I have Lord in my heart. I have God here in my heart. Show me, where is God?" You have to exhibit this. You can't claim that you love someone, but when it comes to practicing this love, the practice is missing and absent. Nobody would believe you. Allah says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then the outcome of love has to be displayed. Show me. Show me a sign. Practice your love. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Once you follow me, God is going to love you. And it's going to be a mutual relationship between you and God. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Many people today, they claim that they love the Prophet and his family. But when it comes to following them and obeying them and respecting them and listening to them, they go somewhere else. They desert the family of the Prophet. They leave them. They have other choices. This is not love. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Show me. Sometimes you have to sacrifice to show you a true love. You have to sacrifice. It's not always gaining. Sometimes you have to lose some material gains to show God that I am truly in a good relationship with you. Mus'ab ibn Umair, one of the front runners of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A young man who had a fairy tale lifestyle. His father was so rich, he was next in line to succeed his father in leadership, leading his tribe. He led a very extravagant life. His parents, the Prophet pointed to him when he accepted Islam. One day he was passing by the Prophet. He said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ بَيْنَ أَبَوَيْهِ يُغَذُّونَهُ بِأَطْيَبِ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ فَدَعَاهُ حُبُّ اللَّهِ وَحُبُّ رَسُولِهِ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. I bear witness that I saw his parents flanking him, spoiling him, and feeding him, entertaining him with the best food and a drink. But he deserted all this worldly pleasure. He denounced the attraction, the temptation of the dunya. He denounced wealth and power and fame and food and a drink. And he decided to join Allah and the Prophet. فَدَعَاهُ حُبُّ اللَّهِ. Because he fell in love with God and his apostles. He deserted everything. He came to Medina. He was a homeless. After being a very rich person, after leading a very extravagant life, today he's homeless in Medina. Today he can barely feed himself. فَدَعَاهُ حُبُّ اللَّهِ وَحُبُّ رَسُولِهِ إِلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. The Prophet testifies, he says, this is love. This is the true demonstration of love. He was in love with Allah. And he was ready to sacrifice. He was ready to sacrifice. So this is the story of love. Are we ready to sacrifice? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, The only thing that explains why awliyaullah and among them and in the forefront of awliyaullah is Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam and his family members and his companions. The only thing that explains why he longed for death, he was looking forward to death, to martyrdom, to shahada. He was a craving and yearning to death and shahada. Why? The only thing that explains this gesture by Imam Hussein and his companions is the love for Allah. Nothing else but love. Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. If you truly believe that you're going to stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment, if you truly believe that God does exist and one day we're going to stand, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, we're going to stand before God on that day, then you have to prepare yourself to sacrifice. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Let your job and your deeds and your actions and your feelings be only and exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Not only our actions and deeds, but even your sentiments. When you love someone, you love him for the sake of God. And if you ever hate a person, you don't hate him for a personal reason. You hate that person because he is the enemy of God. He is at war with God. الْحُبُّ لِلَّهِ وَالْكُرْهُ لِلَّهِ. One day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salam, Musa, did you do anything to me for me so far? He said, Ilahi, all my life was for you. I did pray for you, I did fast, I sacrificed, I went into jihad. All my life is for you. Allah answered him, Ya Musa, what you did was for you, not for me. Not for me. If you did the prayers, this is a connection to give you a spiritual boost, spiritual strength. When Allah speaks about the prayers in Surah Taha, and this is for the people who are distressed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was distressed in Mecca. He needed some energy and some strength, spiritual joy. Allah says to him, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. O Prophet Muhammad, be patient over what they say about you. Be patient about their attack against you. فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. And in order for you to gain strength and to move forward and to fight these challenges, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا وَمِنْ آلَاءِ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ لَعَلَّكَ تَرْضَى. Referring to the five canonical prayers, daily prayers, five daily prayers. These are the timings of the five daily prayers. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا. Before sunrise, before sunset, وَمِنْ آلَاءِ اللَّيْلِ فَسَبِّحْ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ لَعَلَّكَ تَرْضَى. These are the five daily prayers. So you may find an inner spiritual joy. Although people are constantly persecuting you and harassing you and chasing you from one place into another, but when you stand before God five times a day, you're going to feel strong. You are not going to feel down. This is what we have to learn from Imam Hussein on the nights of Ashura, these nights. If you still have never tried the prayers, you have to try it tonight. Try to stand before Allah. Leave everything behind. Say, now the time to meet with the Supreme, with the superpower. Open a hotline between you and the superpower, and then you will feel the joy. After a while, when you get used to the prayers, when you are able to concentrate and focus. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Surah Al-Mu'minun begins with mentioning the prayers and ends with the prayers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. If we are able to pray in a healthy way, the way that God wants us to be, then we're going to benefit. We're going to draw strength from these prayers. So Allah said to Musa, Ya Musa, what you did was for you. I asked you, have you ever done something for me, for your Lord? He said, I don't know what you are talking about, my Lord. Allah said to him, Ya Musa, هل أحببت لي مؤمنا هل آخيت لي مؤمنا وعاديت كافرا لوجه الله. فعلم موسى أن الحب لله والكره لله من أحب الأعمال إلى الله في الأرض. موسى, did you ever like someone for not any consideration, not a material consideration, not because this person is handsome, not because this person is rich, not because he is a celebrity or famous. Did you like this person only and only because he is the true slave of God? That is the only consideration. God says, when you love me, I want your love to be exclusively for me. Sometimes we love people not because of them. A friend invites you to his mansion. You decide to go to enjoy the mansion, the palace, the house, the yacht, the private jet. You know, he takes you up north, for instance. He has a ranch there. Not for him. Allah says, Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So let's go back to this issue. One, we have, brothers and sisters, our ultimate destination in this life, our ultimate aim and goal in this life should be the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we have been created. If a non-Muslim asks you, what is the purpose, what is the ultimate goal of the creation? What is the ultimate goal of the creation? What the answer should be? The answer is to experience God's love in our life, in our hearts. If you can reach this point, then you have fulfilled the mission of your creation. If I fail to reach this point, I have done nothing. Even if I am the wealthiest person and the most successful person on earth, I have done nothing in the eyes of Allah. Therefore, the dua says, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak. There are three underpinnings here. In God's love, there are three underpinnings. One, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak. Wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Wa hubba ma yuqarribuni ilayk. Oh God, bestow on me not only your love first, and with it comes two more things. Those who love you, those who are in your company, those who are awliya Allah, those who draw me close to you. The Prophet said, "Allimu awladakum." Teach and train your kids. Once they are kids and small, teach them, feed them, foster them, encourage them. حب نبيكم وحب أهل بيته وحب القرآن. Instill in their hearts since they are babies. Since they are a few months old. I have a mother who told me one time that when I was pregnant, I always play Quranic tapes and CDs at home. I want my baby to listen to the Quran from the very first days. This is how you instill the love of God, the wisdom of God in your kid's house. But if the child is raised in an environment where there is everything but Allah, you mention everything is played there. All sorts of musics and dancings and songs are played except the Quran. Don't expect that son, that daughter to be a righteous person. The journey begins when they are in the womb. When they are there in the womb, this is how the journey to Allah begins. Therefore, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak, your love, the love of those who love you. And today we are in the sessions of Imam Hussein. Why do we love Imam Hussein? Give me just one sentence, one answer. We love him because he is close to Allah. We love him because he draws me closer to Allah. أنتم الأدلاء على الله من أراد الله بدأ بكم ومن وحده قبل عنكم. If people want to get introduced to God, they have to go through this gate. The gate of Ahlul Bayt. The gate of Fatima al-Zahra and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hassan and Hussein. The gate of Al-Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam. This is the right gate that takes you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the gatekeepers of the divine mansion, the family of the Prophet. The Prophet himself says, كنا أنا وعلي النورين بين يدي الله تعالى وآدم ما بين الماء والطين. Adam was not created when me and Ali, we were lights surrounding the throne of God, orbiting around the throne of God. me and Ali. Ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah. We are the spiritual fathers of this nation. The father takes care of you, brings you some food. The Prophet and Imam Ali, they bring you wisdom and knowledge and faith. So three things here. Allahumma arzuqni hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba ma yuqarribuni ilayk. Instill in my heart things that draws me close to you, not turns me away from you. Not the things that turn me away from you. Ibrahim al-Khalil, at the time of his death, when the angel of death came to him, Ibrahim said to him, Ya Malak al-Maut, أَرَأَيْتَ خَلِيلًا يُمِيتُ خَلِيلَهُ. Do you think that a true friend would cause his intimate friend, would cause the death of his intimate friend? Would you think this happens? Allah awha ilayhi immediately, sent an urgent message to Ibrahim. Ya Ibrahim, وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ مُحِبًّا يَكْرَهُ لِقَاءَ حَبِيبِهِ. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen someone who is in a true love, who hates to meet his sweetheart? They tell him, your sweetheart is behind this door, and you are longing him for many years, and now he arrived. He says, no, I don't want to meet him. وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ مُحِبًّا يَكْرَهُ لِقَاءَ حَبِيبِهِ. At that moment, Ibrahim said to Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, الْآنَ فَقْدِفْ. I am ready to go. I'm ready to take off. Since now I know the meaning of death. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Our noble Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم says, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهِ. If you truly want to meet with God, then God also wants to meet with you, depending on you. If you hate death, sometimes some people hate death and sometimes people are afraid of death, and there is a big difference between them. We are all afraid of death. Even the Anbiya, even apostles and messengers and prophets and imams. Although they long for death, they yearn for death, which is liqa'ullah, but we are afraid of death. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, فَلَوْ أَنَّكُمْ لَوْ عَايَنْتُمْ مَا قَدْ عَايَنَ مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْكُمْ لَجَزِعْتُمْ وَوَحَلْتُمْ وَسَمِعْتُمْ وَأَطَعْتُمْ وَلَكِنْ مَحْجُوبٌ عَنْكُمْ مَا قَدْ عَايَنُوا وَقَرِيبًا مَا يَسْقَطُ الْحِجَابُ. If only you get the opportunity to experience and to see and realize and understand and fathom what happened to those people who passed away before you, you will be shocked and disturbed. You could not sleep the night. But this curtain is going to be removed soon when you approach this journey. So being afraid of death is different from hating death. The Jews, they said, نحن أبناء الله وأحباؤه. We are the sons of God and His sweethearts. Allah invites them in the Quran. Allah says to them, then if you are, تَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, then wish the death, because in death you are meeting with your sweetheart. We say, I am so close to God, I can't afford missing God. So try to die then. But Allah answers, He says, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. These are only false claims. In fact, they don't want to die because they know what they did. Now, how do we know that Allah loves us? This is an important question. Sometimes I would claim that I love God. How do I know? Is there any way I can find out that God loves me? Yes. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu alayhi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إذا أحب الله عبدا ابتلاه، فإن صبر اجتباه، وإن رضي اصطفاه، فإن أحبه الحب البالغ اقتناه. Beautiful saying, beautiful wisdom. He says, if God loves someone, He's going to put him to test, severe test. He's going to experience all sorts of trials and tribulations in his life. He would never have a day with no problem in his life. His life will be very tumultuous and turbulent life, severe life. Allah will put him to severe tests. Not only one test, one after the other. Series of tests, one after the other. فَإِنْ صَبَرْ If he passed these tests with patience, endurance and patience and fortitude, Allah will choose him. اجتباه. اجتباه is to choose someone. وَاجْتَبَيْنَاهُمْ وَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Allah will choose him to himself. وَإِنْ رَضِي If he goes one step further, not only he was patient, but he was happy, he was content. He said thank you to God. At the time of a tragedy and affliction, he raised his head. He said, God, thank you. I know this is good for me. You know the wisdom behind it. I don't complain. He always gives thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always. And he accepts the tragedy wholeheartedly with a smile on his face. If he does so, istafa. Istafa is a step further than ishtiba. Ishtiba is a normal choosing. Istafa is to choose with refinement, to become God's favorite. God's favorite. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ This is istifa. فَإِنْ أَحَبَّهُ الْحُبَّ الْبَالِغِ If God truly this time loves this guy and he passed all these tests, then اقْتَنَاه Iqtina has a different meaning. We have ishtiba, we have istifa, we have iqtina. Ishtiba is to choose. Iqtina is a special selection. Special selection for God. He will be exclusively made for God. Iqtina. Exclusively made for God. No one can share this with God. This is the meaning of iqtina. فَإِنْ أَحَبَّهُ الْحُبَّ الْبَالِغِ When God's love reaches the peak towards this person, this individual, اختناف. At that time, Allah makes him special for him, exclusively for him. And this is what happened to Imam Hussein عليه السلام on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, The Prophet says, and then the Prophet explains the meaning of اختناء. أي أخذ منه ماله وأهله. The meaning of اختناء, Allah makes him exclusively for him. He takes away from him his family and his wealth, whatever he owns. And this is what happened to Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura. Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, all his family members were slaughtered. He stood in the battlefield alone on that day. What did he say? إِلَهِ رِضًا بِقَضَائِكَ I'm excited about this. As long as you are happy, as long as these sacrifices draws you satisfaction and happiness, I'm happy for that. I don't complain. He never complained. Never complained. Never said why. Why to me, not to someone else? Why to my 26 years old son? Why to my 6 months old baby? Why to my 33 years old brother? He never said this. He never complained. He gave everything to Allah and Allah chose him. اختناه تركت الخلق طرا في هواك Imam Hussein speaks in this manner with Allah on the day of Ashura. I abandoned and deserted the entire creation only for one thing, for your love. Because I am engrossed in your love. Because I am obsessed with you, my Lord. تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ طَرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعِيَالَ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ. I made my children, all my children, orphans. Just for what reason? To meet with you and come and join you. فَلَوْ قَطَّعْتَنِي بِالسَّيْفِ إِرْبًا لَمَا حَنَّ الْفُؤَادُ إِلَى سِوَاكَ. Even if it takes that they cut me and they decapitate my body into pieces, I would never say no. And I would never turn my face to another individual other than you. This is the message of Ashura. Now let's go to the role of love, where I conclude there inshallah. Many philosophers over the history of mankind, they debated and discussed the role of love in the human relations and the human life. For instance, in the Christian ethics, you read the work of Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine is the one who came between Isa alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 350 years after Jesus and 250 years before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man, when he speaks about the role of love, he has two interesting theories here, or points. One, he says the reason why love is so inevitable and people will somehow experience love in their life is because of man's incompleteness, because of man's imperfection and insufficiency. Man is not perfect. For these objects of love provide security, provide some measure of satisfaction and happiness and peace for the humans. When you love someone, or when you love an object, when you love a material, it induces you with the level of satisfaction. You feel secure. This is why you start loving. And this is why love is important for you as a human being. This is what he says. The second point, he says that humanity's moral problem does not stem from what people love, but from how people love. Not what people love, but how people love. He says it is not important what you love. You may love anything in this life. God created this life and this universe and everything in this universe for you at your disposal. So you love them. It's okay to love your spouse, your son, your business, your food, your house, your country. It's okay. I have no problem with that. But I have a problem if you become obsessed with them, with how you love them, and how you over-expect from them. Sometimes we love in a manner that we over-expect from that side. We think that side is the ultimate remedy for my heart. If that person marries me, I'm going to be the happiest person. Because that person is the center of love and compassion and all solutions in this universe. And this is a fallacy. This is over expectation. This is a crazy love. This is why many people, they say, if this person does not marry me, I'm not going to marry for the rest of my life. This is a craziness. You misunderstood the message of love. You know nothing about life. This is not the right way to approach things. So it is the over-expectations. And it is called in philosophy the disordered love or the negative love. Disordered love. And the disordered love is going to produce a disordered human being. It's going to produce all sorts of a human pathology in the human behavior. One of them is depression. This is just one aspect. Why? Because of your over-expectations. And then philosophers continue to say that all objects of love in this universe are four, only four. Number one, yourself. You may love yourself. Two, you may love others. Three, you may love God. Four, you may love objects. Self, other people, God, and objects. And these four objects, they have different ramifications and different outcomes. They don't have the same outcome when you love them. Each one is different from the other. They are not interchangeable, neither substitutable. Meaning, let's simplify this, that a material object, a fancy car, a house, a computer, may never substitute for a human relationship. Why? Because it lacks the basic ingredients of a human personality. No matter how this computer or car is expensive, it does not have the personal or the human personality in it. So you do not draw the same result from loving a person. Here, some people, for instance, say, if I don't marry, I will go and buy a car. I enjoy myself with the car. It would not help you. Or a lady who said one time that if I can't find a good husband, I go and buy a dog. Maybe you buy a dog. Maybe a relationship with a dog. Maybe the dog, the animal, is a legitimate object of love. But you can't expect from them more. All what you can expect from the dog is a doggy relationship. Doggy relationship, not a human relationship. This is why America and the West and Europe and the Western civilization is facing one of the major human crises in the history of mankind. You know why? Because of the increased numbers of pets, animals. We are not against animals. But the way you perceive animals, you should not give them more than what they deserve. An animal cannot substitute for the human relationship. You fail if you think that you don't have a son or you don't have good relationship with your son. Let your son go to hell. I'm going to bring a dog or cat to my house. The dog or the cat would not help you. They would never bring you the same joy. And then philosophers continue to say that man was manufactured and designed to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to draw the ultimate satisfaction and happiness in this life, you have to have the love of Allah in your heart. عميت عين لا تراك عليها بصيرة وخسرت صفقة عبد لم يجعل لنفسه من حبك نصيبا. This is the dua of Imam Hussein عليه السلام in the day of Arafat. Truly a loser is the person, truly a bankrupt is the person who could not contain God in his heart. He can place and contain everything in his heart except Allah. It reminds me of the story of Jesus when he was walking in Palestine. He came across a man who was completely disabled and blind and paralyzed. A homeless man who had no one around him. He had no food. Isa alayhi salam came to him. He said, كيف أصبحت يا عبد الله? Tell me, how do you feel? How is your feeling today? He recognized the voice of Isa. He said, أصبحت في أحسن نعمة وأحسن حال يا روح الله. Today is my best condition. Today I'm a superman. Today I'm the happiest person on earth. Isa turned to him. He said to him, are you kidding me? You are the happiest person. You have no food. You have no shelter. You have no friend. You have no partner. You have no hope. How do you see yourself the happiest person? He said, Ya Ruh Allah, inna qalbi wa lisani la yamqati'u an dhikrillahi lahwatan wahida. The reason I am the happiest person is I am well connected. I have a cable, fast cable, a hotline that connects me to God. All the time my heart is with Allah. I have everything in this universe. إلهي من ذا الذي ذاق حلاوة مناجاتك فرام عنها بدلا. Imam Zain al-Abidin says, who was able to taste the beauty, the deliciousness, the sweets of your love, and then after that he decided to go somewhere else? Nobody. But the problem, how to taste, how to reach that taste, this is the problem. Here we need to struggle, brothers and sisters. Let me conclude by saying, Allah says, I made this universe for you to love everything. But always keep one thing in mind. Always one thing in mind. These objects are not your ultimate satisfaction. They would not bring you the ultimate happiness or satisfaction. These objects in your life, money, family, house, car, business, human relationships, are meant for one thing, to enable you to fulfill your mission in this life. This is why God created them. And if you look at the Quran, in Surah Al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 87 says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah never said, بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Because Allah knows, we would love this life, the lower life. Allah says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ. And there is a difference between تُؤْثِرُونَ and تُحِبُّونَ. Allah says, تُحِبُّونَ, if you love this life, this is perfectly normal. This is perfectly normal. But I don't want you to give a preference to this life over the hereafter. This is the fake one. This is the fake one. This is only a facade. Have you been to Hollywood? Hollywood, when you go to Hollywood, you think you are in an empire. But they are only studios. These are all facades to deceive you. Optical illusion. It's not real. This life is not the real life. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. Only if we try to realize and understand and detach ourselves from this obsession and enchantment and fascination to this life. Allah says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. I want you to love this life, but I don't want you to give a priority to it. And to get the wrong impression that you are here forever. You are not here. This is just a bridge to get you elsewhere to the final destination. Imam Hussein, he made this message clear throughout his journey, all the way from Medina to Mecca. From Mecca, he went to Karbala through 38 resting stations. And always he made this clear to the people that this is not our final destination. The place that I am heading to is the final destination, the land of Karbala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Ahlul Bayt and Imam Hussein in particular, the entire Ahlul Bayt, but Imam Hussein in particular, they were designed for the Akhirah. They always longed for the Akhirah. After living 58 years of his glorious life in Medina, he decided to leave Medina, his birthplace. And he went to the city of Mecca. He stayed in Mecca for 120 days. In Mecca, Imam Hussein alayhi salam received thousands of letters, invitation letters, not only from the people of Iraq, from elsewhere in the Middle East. From Yemen, from Hijaz, from other places, inviting him to lead this popular revolution against the unjust rule of Bani Umayyah, the dictatorship and tyranny of Bani Umayyah. 4 months in Mecca. And then Imam Hussein on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, most of the pilgrims were heading to Mina in a preparation for the following day in Arafat. They left the city of Mecca. On that particular day, Imam Hussein decided to leave Mecca to go somewhere else, to the eternal land of Karbala. Why? This was a powerful declaration by Imam Hussein that Hajj lost its value under the dictatorship of Bani Umayyah. Hajj was made a bunch of rituals, meaningless rituals. Hajj lost its value. The message of Hajj is universal brotherhood. The message of Hajj is harmony and love and cooperation. But Bani Umayyah, they came and they destroyed the message of Hajj. Hajj today is only a bunch of rituals. People perform the rites of Hajj without understanding the lessons of Hajj. So Imam Hussein decided to leave. People will take their animals and sheep to Mina to offer them for sacrifice. Imam Hussein said, I will take something else to sacrifice in Karbala. I will sacrifice myself. I will sacrifice my brothers. I will sacrifice my kids in Karbala, my companions. So on the day of Eid, Imam Hussein leaves Mecca. The journey from, the distance from Mecca to Karbala is almost 1500 kilometers. It took Imam Hussein 23 days to journey through the desert at an average rate of 64 kilometers a day. And he passed through 38 resting stations and villages until he reached a point in the Iraqi territory. Ibn Ziyad, the governor of Iraq, he sent Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, a decorated army commander with 1,000 fighters to intercept the caravan of Imam Hussein. He sent an urgent message to him. When you see Hussein ibn Ali, I want you to intercept him, handcuff him, bring him back to me, to Kufa. Don't allow him to go to Kufa, neither going back to Medina. Bring him to me. So Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi came with his fighters and they intercepted Imam Hussein and they had a long deliberation and debate and discussion. Eventually Al-Hurr, a nobleman, because within 8 days you will see the complete transformation and change in his life. Within 8 days. This was the second day of Muharram. Only 8 days later, on the 10th day, he stood before Imam Hussein seeking forgiveness. He came to him, he said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I want you to think about another plan. خُفْ طَرِيقًا نَصَفًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ لَعَلِّي أَكْتُبُ إِلَى الْأَمِيرِ ابْنِ زِيَادٍ لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلُ لِيَ الْعَافِيَةَ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ. I hate to fight you. I really hate to intercept you. But I want you to realize my situation. I'm an army commander here. I receive orders. So I want you to go somewhere else. I don't want to arrest you. I respect you. I respect your mother Fatima. I respect your grandfather Rasulullah. And I hope by this Allah will bestow His mercy and a blessing on me. And finally I can be on your side. So Imam at that moment he thanked him. And then he turned to his companions and the people who were gathering there. He said, من منكم يعرف الطريق على غير الجادة? Who is familiar with this landscape in Iraq? And who knows a different route? We can take a side road. We don't go to Kufa. A man by the name of Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman was a cameleer or a camel driver who spent his time in the desert. And he used to chant and sing for the camels to inspire the animals to move faster in the desert. He came, he raised his hand, he said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, Ana a'arif al-tariq. I am very familiar with this landscape. So Imam said to him, Ya Abdurrahman, I want you to move ahead of us and the caravan of Imam Hussein would follow you. The Abdurrahman started chanting to inspire the animals, the camels, and to inspire the caravan. Ya naqati,
تدعري من زجري وامشي بنا قبل طلوع الفجر بخير ركبان وخير سفري آل رسول الله آل الفخر السادة البيض الوجوه الزهري حتى تحلي بكريم النجر يا مالك النفع معا والضر امدد حسينا سيدي بالنصر. He started chanting, saying to the camel, "Oh camel, do not be afraid of my chanting. I know you realize this is the final destination, but I want you to move fast before sunrise. We are carrying noble people with us, and we are heading to a noble destination, to the land of Karbala. They are the family of Rasulullah, the family of honor. Oh, the Lord who controls the benefit and the gain and the harm, I want you to supply and support my master Imam Hussein with victory today." They moved throughout the desert until they reached a point where the horse of Imam Hussein came to stand still. The horse of Imam Hussein did not move, came to complete halt. This was a signal, because the divine plan is in progress. Allah wants Imam Hussein to go to this promised land of Karbala. This is all a drawn in Allah's plan and Allah's design. The horse stood there. He received the message, an animal, but received the message from Allah. Came to complete halt. Imam turned to his companions, "Ashabi masmu hadihi al-ard. Does anyone recognize this land?" They said to him, "Yabna Rasulullah tusamma al-ghadiriyat." Yes, it has a name of al-ghadiriyat. Does it have another name? Yes, tusamma shafi al-furat, the bank of the Euphrates. Does it have another name? Yes, yabna Rasulullah tusamma Karbala. This is the land of Karbala. At that time, Imam Hussein said to his family and companions, "Ashabi, هنا محط رحالنا انزلوا هنا هنا محط رحالنا هنا تقتل رجالنا وتذبح أطفالنا وتسبى نساؤنا." Yes, this is the land, here where we camp today, here where we settle today. In this land, on this land, our men are going to be slain, our kids are going to be slaughtered, our women are going to be captives, are going to be taken captives on this very land. At that time, before, when they landed in Karbala, the heart of the Hashimiyat, the family of Imam Hussein, Zainab alayhi salam, her sisters, the daughters of Imam Hussein, they were calm, composed, unruffled. Why? Because Imam Hussein was there, Al-Abbas was there, Ali ibn al-Akbar, Al-Qasim, the other youth were there. They were not worried about anything. But the brothers and sisters, only 8 days after that, what happened? The scene completely changed. The scene completely changed. There was no man in that land to save the honor of the family of Imam Hussein. هذه نساؤك من يكون إذا سرت بالأمس سائقها ومن حاديها أيسوقها زجر بضرب متونها والشمر يحدوها بسب أبيها عجبا لها بالأمس أنت تصونها واليوم آل أمية تبديها." نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله